Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Bet. The Gemara here is discussing both a machloke between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, as well as the shita of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon's shita in the Mishnah is the fact that, and kodeshim that have achrayut, make them into mamon, make them as if they are monetary good. And that means if they're stolen, that you are considered a ganav from that individual, not a ganav from Hekdesh. So then the Gemara went on to understand and says, wait a minute, if you have then a shechita that is involved with whatever is happening here, what exactly is the nature of that shechita? Because we also know that the shita of Rabbi Shimon includes that a shechita she'en ruya ain't a shechita, it's not a shechita. So now, putting all of that together, we have to come up with an explanation for the scenario in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon is speaking about. First of all, it's about to be a case where it's gorem lemamon, but it's also got to be a scenario in which the shechita is a good shechita. So in the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, we have Rabbi Yochanan who tells us that you are unable to be makdish an animal once it is stolen. That is because Rabbi Yochanan believes that you need both ownership and control in order to be makdish an animal. Therefore, when the ganav has it, both the balim and the ganav do not have the ability to makdish the animal. Balim don't have the ability because it's not in their control. And the ganav doesn't have it because it's not in his possession. The way that we get around that is after the balim have yeush, they give up hope of getting it back. If then the ganav is makdish the animal, that creates yeush vishinui rishut. That yeush vishinui rishut generates a change in ownership. That change in ownership, but then places it into the hands of Hekdesh. So for the chachamim, once it goes into the hands of Hekdesh, you're no longer a chayav because it's in the hands of Hekdesh. And if you shecht an animal of Hekdesh, you're not going to be chayav. For tvicha, because you are shechting that which belongs to Hekdesh. You also will not be chayav for mechira, even though you've moved the ownership from the ownership of the ganav now into the ownership of Hekdesh. Nevertheless, as we saw yesterday, that it's still called the korban of Ruvain when Ruvain is magdishit. Therefore, there's no mechira and no tevicha. We saw yesterday, and Rashi noted this, that Rabbi Shimon agrees to both of those positions of the Chachamim. So then we need to come up with an explanation for Rabbi Shimon's case in the Mishnah, where having Kodshim Sheish Ben Achrayut has a nafkamino. And that we did yesterday by assuming that the case there was relegated to a situation or circumstance where the ganav steals from the house of the owner, but it's already Hekdesh. When he steals from the house of the Balim where it's already Hekdesh, generally, that would be deemed to be gonev mi beit ha'ish v'lo mi beit ha'kdesh. If you steal from the Balim's house, you are chayav. If you steal from Hekdesh, you're not chayav. So here, is it deemed to be gonev mi beit ha'ish or gonev mi beit ha'kdesh? According to the Chachamim, if it's Hekdesh, then it's gonev mi beit ha'kdesh. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says you have to bifurcate the din. If it's kodashim, where you have no residual responsibilities to replace it, for instance, it's a nidava, then in that case, I agree with the Chachamim and say that it's Gonevi Beit HaKdesh and the Ganav will not be Chayav. On the other hand, if the scenario is a case where it's Kodeshim that the Balim have Achrayut for, like a Neder, well, they'll have to replace the Korban if it doesn't get to the Mizbeach, then when the individual steals it from the house of the Balim, even though he's stealing something that is Hekdesh, nevertheless, that Hekdesh has monetary ramifications for the Balim, because that Korban was protecting them or preventing them from having to lay out money or pay for it again. So that's a davara gorem lemamon, kimamon dami. And therefore Rabbi Shimon sees that as if you stole it from the Balim, because you stole something that has monetary worth from the Balim. And that makes it as if it's gonev mi beit ha'ish, and therefore the ganav will be chayav in that scenario. So for Rabbi Yochanan, the scenario here has to be a case where the Balim are already makdishit in their house, and then afterwards the ganav came and stole it. The other hand, for Rish Lakish, the scenario can even be in a case where the ganav stole it already, and then the Balim were makdishit after the fact. Because Rish Lakish believes, like the Tznuim that we saw back on Samachet Amud Bet, that you can be makdish the animal when it's in the hands of the ganav. And therefore, for Rabbi Yochanan, the question revolves around the chiyuv of kefel, because we're asking whether the ganav stole from the balim or stole from Hekdesh. Whereas for Reish Lakish, the question revolves around the tbicha that happens afterwards, yuchayav arba v'chamisha, or not for that item. the Gemara then moves to the next stage and says, according to this, then how do we explain the scenario in which Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that Rabbi Shimon thinks you are chayav? If we think that the kodoshim here are kodoshim that you have achrayut for, and therefore when a ganav comes and steals them, it's called gonev mibeit ha'ish, not gonev mibeit hekdesh. Still, when he goes to shecht them, he's still shechting items that are hekdesh. And if he shechts an item that's hekdesh, why are you going to be chayav for that? And if it fails, meaning shechita is unable to accomplish anything, it's a shechita she'ina re'uya, and therefore you should not be chayav according to Rabbi Shimon. The answer given on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan Shita is either, number one, that it was a shechita that was done properly, but then afterwards the dam was spilled, and so therefore the shechita was a good shechita, and the dam was spilled by where the korban never ends up on the mizbeach, and therefore the balim are still responsible to replace it. Or the other possibility brought in the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan was the fact that the animal was brought on the mizbeach shelo lishma or shelo lishem habalim, and therefore the korban or the shechita is a good shechita, but it doesn't accrue to the balim. And since it doesn't accrue to the balim are now responsible to replace it. And that's why the ganav stole something that is monetary worth to the balim. It's gorim the mamon to the balim. And for that reason, you are going to be chayav for that geneva. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, explained the shita of Rabbi Shimon as a case of b'shochet balimumim b'chutz. It's a case where he shechted the balimum b'chutz. Now, truthfully, Reish Lakish himself, with regards to the explanation of the Mishnah, does not have to go through the machinations that Rabbi Yochanan goes through to explain the Mishnah, because Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish can explain the Mishnah as a simple case where the individual stole the item, then the balim were makdishit while it was in the hands of the ganav, and then the ganav shechs it. So in that case, that's the case where it's a davar of gorim the mamon, is ki mamon dummy, because the fact that it's kodoshim that have achrayut, when he shechs it, it still has a connection back to the original owner. Reish Lakish can say that because Reish Lakish, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, has the ability for someone to be makdish something in the hands of the ganav. And since he can be makdish it in the hands of the ganav, then you can create this scenario for Rabbi Shimon where you don't have to explain it to Rabbi Yochanan. Nevertheless, in explaining Rabbi Shimon's shita here at the end of the Mishnah, the Gemara says that Reish Lakish would explain or can explain it that it's the shochet bali mumim bachutz. The case where he was shochet a baal mum, Rashi claims that it's a mum me'ikaro, whereas Rabbeinu Tam says even if it's a mum that fell in the kodeshim afterwards, and he does it b'chutz, it's a shechita that is ri'uya, because this is not something that could have been brought to the mizbeach, and there is a shechita that makes it into a shechita ha-ri'uya, because there wasn't an alternative, it's not shechutei chutz over here. Rabbi Elazar then posed a question on both the shita of Rabbi Yochanan and the shita of Reish Lakish. On the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, he says, first of all, doesn't the animal require zrikat adam? And without zrikat adam, you haven't accomplished anything with regards to the korban. Rashi says the question is on both answers according to Rabbi Yochanan. Most of the Rishonim believe it's only on the question of the one who said the dam was spilled. If the dam is spilled, then how did you ever have zrikat adam? You don't have zrikat adam, then the shita retroactively was nothing. In addition, for Reish Lakish's shita, without pidyon, without a redemption over here, then how do you get a scenario where you have something that is a kosher shechita? Shechita is only good if you can actually redeem the value that's there. If you don't redeem the value that's there, then you don't have a shechita that was ri'uya. That was the question posed by Rabbi Elazar with regards to the pidyon. Again, there the differing opinions of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam had impact. For the Rabbeinu Tam, because of the fact that the pidyon can only be done a moment after the shechita, when the animal is still alive and still can stand, that's when you can do pidyon. If you miss that opportunity, then you can't be podet later on. Whereas for Rashi, the pidyon could have been done any time afterwards, because Rashi thinks that we're talking about something that had a mum from the start. And therefore you could be podet even later on, because you don't require hamad of aracha. The Bali Tosafot suggested in Rashi Shita that Rashi is saying it in the case where Ganav, who steals it, is going to end up eating it. And since he eats it, they won't be around to be podet. So if that's the case, how you have a shechita ruya if you were not podet it? The answer to both of those questions is the shechita of Rabbi Shimon, which is an additional shechita of Rabbi Shimon over here, which is that kol ha-ra'oi lifdot ki padui dami, but kol ha-ra'oi lizrok ki zaruk dami. So yesterday we spent time on kol ha-ra'oi lizrok ki zaruk dami. Anything that is ready to be put on the mizbeach and sprinkled on the mizbeach, as if it was sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Therefore, we never have to actually get to the Zrikat Adam. We just need to have a Kabbalat Adam in the coast, the way Tosafot describes it. Once you have that, it's as if it was already sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And that means that it has a Shata Kosher. It has a time period when it is Ra'oi to be eaten, which is a requirement of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon requires that at some point in time it has to be edible either to Israel or to a Nachri in order for it to garner a status of Tumat Ochlim. And so therefore the fact that it had that opportunity for Zrikat Adam, that's enough. And that will also solve our problem with the Gabei the Shechita. Since you could have done the Zrikat, it's as if the Zrikat is done. Therefore the Shechita is Kshera. For Reish Lakish, what we're going to say is since there was a moment when the Pidyon could have been done, we look at it as if it is redeemed. So if it is as redeemed, then again here you have a moment in time where it was quote-unquote redeemed because it could have been redeemed. That makes the Shechita a Shechita Kshera. And that's how we end up with the scenario in which we have Kodoshim that are being Shechted. And the Shechita is a Shechita Ruya, even though something went wrong afterwards. For Rabbi Yochanan, the something that went wrong afterwards is either that the dam was spilled, or that the animal was brought Shlo Lishma, Shlo Lishem Abalim. Or for Reish Lakish, the fact that you are Shechting it Bachutz, and then you don't end up redeeming it. In all these cases, that deficit in the Shechita is made up by the fact that Kol Omed Lizrok is a Ruk Dami, or Kol Omed Lifdot Kipadui Dami. So that makes up for that deficit. We brought the proofs for Kol Omed Lizrok is a Ruk Dami. Now, today, we're going to discuss Kol Omed Lifdot Kipadui Dami. Anything that is a possibility of being redeemed is as if redeemed. Tanya, how do we know that Rabbi Shimon holds of this? Because Rabbi Shimon Omer, Para Mitama Tumat Ochlim, a Para has the ability to generate Tumat Ochlim, because it had a moment in time where it was ra'ui for achila. Ve'amar Reish Lakish, and on this, Reish Lakish qualifies it and says, Omer haya Rabbi Shimon, para nifdeit agabe marachata. A para duma, which is what we're speaking about here, a para duma, which is going to be burnt on a pyre after it is shechted. When it's burnt on the pyre for the ashes together with the Eitz Erez and the Tolat Shani and the Ezov, those ashes then will be taken and used to be mitaher people. What Rabbi Shimon says is you have an ability, if you find a better para duma or a better one that you want to use, you can redeem it even when it's on the pyre. Meaning that the ability to do pidyon lasts much beyond just the Shechita. Meaning that you can even go further than that and you can still redeem it all the way along. Therefore, that ability to be podet is what generates the Shata Kosher. Seemingly, once it reaches a certain point where its ashes already, it's already made into the mei nida that are going to be used to sprinkle on people, then you can't redeem it. And therefore, that moment in time where you could have redeemed it is kipadui domi. And that's what the Gemara concludes here. Alma kol omed liftot kipadui domi. Anything that had a chance to be redeemed, it's viewed as if redeemed. And therefore, it had a moment where it could have been eaten, because you could have redeemed it then, eaten it. And therefore, they would have had a Shata Kosher, a time period where it could have been eaten by somebody, and it wouldn't be Asur Bana. That moment makes it, or gives it the ability to be Metamei Tumat Ochlim. So that is the proof from Para Aduma. Now, there are a number of items that are raised with regards to this. That's what these large Tosafot are about. Rashi raises them in Chulin, the similar questions over there, which is that there are a number of shitot of Rabbi Shimon that converge over here, and the convergence of those shitot make it a little strange as to why we need it to have tamei tumat ochlim. Why do we have to have the ability for this para aduma to generate tumat ochlim and to pass on tumah of tumat ochlim? The first of which is that the animal has the ability, according to Rabbi Shimon, to be redeemed forever. And that is because a para aduma, according to Rabbi Shimon, is considered to be Kodshei Perek Abayit. But since it's Kodshei Perek Abayit, according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't require Hamada Varacha. And that means that you can redeem it all the way along. So why do you need this Shat HaKosher? Why do you need this moment in time where you could have redeemed it? You can decide any point in time that you want to redeem it, because it's Kodshei Perek Abayit. So that is the first question that is raised by Tosafot, as to why is it that there is a limitation as to when you can redeem it. So Tosafot gives two answers. One answer is that this is post-Hazayah, that once you've sprinkled the dam of the Para Aduma towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim, even Rabbi Shimon will agree at that point in time, it's irreversible, and you can no longer be podet. So Eino Chanami, yes, you could be podet after Shechita, anytime along that process, until the dam is sprinkled towards the Kodshei HaKodashim from Har HaZeitim. Once the dam is sprinkled, then that's an irreversible process, and you can no longer redeem it. And that's what Tosafot says, that's where we are. We're in a position now where the dam was already sprinkled, and therefore we have cut off your ability to redeem it anymore. Once that ability to redeem it has been cut off, then what gives it the ability to generate Tumat Ochlim was the fact that before this point in time, there was an ability to redeem it, even though you didn't, but just the possibility of redeeming it is enough to make it into something that had a Shata Kosher that could have been Ochel. That's one answer. The other possibility is that for Rabbi Shimon and Hachanami, you could redeem it, and there wouldn't be any issue. But even the Shitat Chachamim, even according to the Chachamim, who either think that Parah Aduma is Kodshei Mizbeach, or according to Tosafot on the next Amud, everybody holds that it's Kodshei Perek Abayit, but maybe the Chachamim require Hamada Varacha. Even according to them, where you can't do Pidyon at a later time, there still was a moment in time where you could have done Pidyon, and that should be enough to generate the Shata Kosher to make it into Ochel, where it could have been eaten. And so all we're saying is, even according to the Chachamim, who have differing opinions than Rabbi Shimon, you still should have the ability to get to a Shata Kosher because of the fact that there was moments in time when you could have redeemed it over here. Whether according to the Chachamim, you acquire Hamad Aracha right after the Shechita, when it's still shaking and standing, if it's Kodshei Mizbeach or Kodshei Perek Abayit, there you could have possibly redeemed it. That ability to redeem it at that moment makes it that it is Kol HaRoi Liftot Kipadui Domi, and therefore you should be able to generate this Shata Kosher that makes it be able to be Metamei Tumat Ochlim. The second issue and the third issue that have to be dealt with are other items that really are in the world of Tumah and Kodoshim. The first of which is raised by Rabbeinu Shmuel Bar Chaim in the Tosafot, which is the fact that we have something called Chibata Kodesh. Chibata Kodesh says that when something is Kadosh, then because of, quote-unquote, the Chibata Kodesh, it elevates the status of the item to the point where it does not require any Hechsher, the Kabel Tumah. And that is because the Chiba is Machsharto. The Chibata Kodesh itself is Machshirit. And so that's the question asked here by the Rabbeinu Shmuel Bar Chaim. Why do you need it to have to be Ochel over here? Why do you need any Hechsher at all? Just say that it's Chibat HaKodesh. And we know that Chibat HaKodesh applies to Parah Aduma from the Gemara in Menachot and the Gemara in Zvachim that deal with these issues. The other question that is raised by the Baalei HaTosafot is another principle in Tumah and Tarah, which is anything that is sofa le tamei tum'ah chamura, anything that in the end will give off a high level of tum'ah, then you do not need a shata kosher, you do not need hechsher the kabel tum'ah, and you don't even need something to touch it in order for it to generate tum'ah. That is here, the para duma in the end, anybody who comes in contact with the para duma in the end is going to come tamei. They're going to be tamei, whether it's maga or masa, whether it's their bodies or their clothing also, it's going to create or generate a Tumah Chamura in the back end. So anything that has a Tumah Chamura in the back end, in the front end, that item doesn't need to be Mukhshar, the Kabel Tumah. It doesn't even have to touch a Sheretz to be able to generate Tumah. It can generate Tumah by itself because of the fact, or the mere fact, that in the end, it will be Tumah Chamura. And for that reason, again, Tosfot asks, why do I need it to be Tamei Tumat Ochlim over here, when in the end, it's Sofer LaTamei Tumat Chamura? Right, so this Tumah Chamura, which generates this self-generated Tumah, is on the level of a Tumat Ochlim, of a Rishon Tumah, which can only pass things to Ochlim and Mashkim. It can't be Mitamei Adam, it can't be Mitamei Kelim. But at least it should exist there, even without a Shata Kosher, have nothing to do with the fact that it had a moment to be kosher. For that reason, Tosafot basically breaks down the ability of these halachot to do different things with regards to the Parah Adumah. The last thing that the Tosafot asks is, why don't we invoke the principle of Kol Omed Lishchot Kishachut Dami? Anything that is Ra'oi to be Shechted is as if Shechted. So why don't we say that, oh, it's as if done already, it's as if Shechted already, it's as if the Dam was Zaruk. I mean, before you even start, why do you have to even do Shechita? So Tosafot says, well, I told you yesterday, Tosafot says that when it comes to Kabbalat Adam, you have to have the Dam in the Kos before it's considered to be Kazaruk Dami. So therefore, of course, if you didn't do Shechita, you have to classify it as Shechita, that can't help you. But then Tosafot launches into a principle then that will affect all these other items. And that is, Tosafot says here that when it comes to Kol HaMeid La'asot, we is Asui Dami, that we only say when we want to take an Ochel that is Asur, and make it into an ochel that is mutar. So for instance, in our case over here, where you have the para duma, which is ochel, but is asur bahana. Nobody can eat it. Nobody can get any hana from it. So now I want to change that status from being an ochel that was asur to an ochel mutar. So then I can invoke the principle of kol omeid liftot kipadui dami. Oh, kol omeid Israel kizaruk dami. I can invoke these principles in order to make it or give it a moment when it was mutar. What it can't do is change something that is not an ochel into something that is an ochel. The problem with the para aduma is, it's not an ochel. Meaning it's going to be ashes. And as ashes, it's not an ochel. Or, if it's still alive pre-shechita, where it's not yet an ochel. So you can't change ashes that are not ochel into something that is ochel. For that, you need some other mechanism to do it. So that won't work. Kol HaOmeid did whatever is not going to help you with that. All the Kol HaOmeid can do is change the status of the item from something that was Ochel that is Asur to Ochel that is Mutar. Moving on to Chibat HaKodesh, that was asked by Rabbeinu Shmuel Bar Chaim, there Tosfot says that Chibat HaKodesh has the ability to change an item from not being Ochel into Ochel. The whole invocation of that din of Chibat HaKodesh surrounds items that are not ochel. Ashes, wood, toret, all things. So what Chibat Kodesh does is tells you items that are not ochel, it gives them the status as if they are ochel. It changes ashes, it changes wood, it changes toret into ochlim, even though they're not ochlim. What it can't do is change something that you cannot eat for other people, meaning that it's inedible, into something that is edible. So now, what Chibat HaKodesh can do for us over here is simply say that ashes or other items change the item from not being Ochel into Ochel. So now it's in the world of Ochel. Now, once it's in the world of Ochel, for Rabbi Shimon, you have another hurdle that you need to get over. Because Rabbi Shimon requires not only that it be an Ochel, but it be an Ochel that you can eat. And therefore, the Chibat HaKodesh is unable to accomplish that. It can only change something that's Ois Ochel into Ochel or classified like Ochel. But now you want to change it from ochel, that is, asur to eat, into mutar to eat, that Chibat HaKodesh cannot accomplish. And similarly, Balei Tosafot say with the Gemara's to sofola tamei tuma chamura, that is mo'il to help you to say that you don't need hechsher the kabel tuma. It helps you for the fact that you don't even need a sheretz to touch it. It is able to give off tuma inherently without anything touching it. But what it is does not do is making an ain ochel into an ochel. It can't change something that's not ochel into ochel all of a sudden. That principle can't change it. So now, what you have is all these different principles that are surrounding the para duma, but none of them can accomplish fully what we need in order for it to be ochel, that is mutar to eat. That only comes from that shata kosher, from that moment when there was a possibility of being podeit, that's what gives you the opportunity to say that it could have been eaten. Chiba of Kekdesh allows you to elevate it from being something that's not Ochel into Ochel. Sofala Tamei Tumah Chamura gives you the right to skip over the fact that you need Hechsher LeKabel Tumah, skip over the fact you need a Sheretz to touch it. But it still can't change the fact that this is not Ochel yet. You have to have a Machshava on it to make it into Ochel. The only way you can do that, again, is if you have this possibility of being Potet, and then changing it into something that could have been edible or eaten at the time. And so, conceptually, that there's this point in time where it could have been redeemed. Since it could have been redeemed, you could have eaten it at that time. You didn't do it in the end. But that possibility makes it as there was a moment in time where it had the possibility of being eaten. That's enough to give it a shame ochel to be metame tumat ochel. That's all we need. And then we have the final issue, which is addressed by Rashi. This question of sofala tamei tuma chamura, Rashi dealt with that issue and says the reason you need to have tamei tuma tochlim over here is not because of the fact that it's tamei, but rather to be mitzteref with other ochlim. Rashi in Chulin says you need it to join together with other ochlim to get to the minimum shiur of ochel to be mekabel tumah. The minimum shiur to be mekabel tumah is a kebetza, and therefore the para duma can now be mitzteref with other items to make it into the minimum shiur of ochel to accept tumah. Had it only been tamei because of so far the tamei tumah chamura, then it wouldn't be able to join with other ochlim. That's why Rashi explains it in Chulin. That Rashi in Chulin presupposes that you require a minimum shi'ur to accept tumah. Rashi, in majority of Shas, says in order for ochel to be mekabel tumah, a kol shehu is needed. In order to convey tumah forward, you need a minimum of a kebetza. In Chulin, Rashi over there says that you need also a kebetza to accept tumah. That is not generally Rashi's shita throughout Shas. The Baal HaTosafot also bring from the Rabbeinu Tam and other places also the requirement or the need possibly to be mekabel tumah. You need a kebetza. Tosafot over here says it seems that Rashi changed his mind, and that the answer that he gave in Chulin is no longer valid because of the fact that he really believes you can accept it, the kol shehu. That's what causes Tosafot to launch into the other possibilities or the other answers here. Now, that all works if the girsun of our Gemara is para mitamei tumat ochlim, that a para can convey tumah. It gives off tumah. It causes tumah as an ochel. That's the girsun that we have here. That's the girsa of the Tosefta, that's the girsa that Tosafot favors. And in favoring that girsa, he explains the Gemara the way that we did before, that the sofa that to make tumah chamura is enough to be machshirit the kabel tumah, to have it have inherent tumah, not enough to make it into an ochel. That's what you need the shata kosher for. But there is an alternate girsa in the Tosefta, which is that para mitama tumah tochlim. It accepts tumah like tumah tochlim. If you do have that girsa, then either you have to explain the Gemara like Rashi in Chulin, which seemingly is what the girsa that Rashi has in the Tosefta, that in order to accept tumah, you need a kebetza of ochlim, and that's what it means here, that it's mitama tumah tochlim, is that it has a status of ochlim to join other ochlim to get that minimum shir of kebetza. Tosefot then offers two alternative answers to the question, if you have the other girsa of mitama, which is either that ochel helps you to be mekabel tumah from a sheni or a shlishi, because if it was just metamei tumah chamura, that leaves it at a level that is above the ability to accept tumah from a sheni or shlishi. Ochlim can have tumah that goes down to a level sheni or level shlishi. So that would be one nafka mina, to have it be have tamei tumah tochlim versus simply have the tumah chamura basof that makes it tamei. The nafkamina of it being ochlim is that it's able to accept tumah even from a sheni or a shlishi. The other way that Tosafot answers is that the fact that possibly without the touching of a sheretz, this thing would not be mekabel tumah, and the whole fact that the para is mitamei people and we only want tahor people to work with it is all gzerat hakatu. And that not that this is that in the sofo letamei tumah chamura, but rather there's a gzerat hakatu that only tahor people should engage with it. And we even want Torah people to engage with it, even if they're not touching it, even if they're touching with a stick or they're not in direct contact with it. So that's a gzeret hakatuv about the tumah chamura, nothing to do with the core dinim of tumah. And therefore, now I needed to have tumah tochlim in order to accept tumah. So that's how Tosafot gets around these problems. And that's how they explain this Tosefta in order to understand why we need the shata kosher. We need the shata kosher to establish, first of all, that it is ochel. We needed to establish the fact that it's ochel that had a shata kosher. It was a period in time where it could have possibly been eaten. The other items like chibat hakodesh or sofa tamei tumah chamura can help us with other items. The fact that it's inherently tamei or the fact that it's now made from something that's not ochel into ochel. But it can help us with regards to this point that it was ochel that was mutar to eat. That could only come from the fact that it had a shata kosher. And that shata kosher for Rabbi Shimon is possibly limited, even though he believes that Berak HaBayit can be redeemed at any time, even without Hamad of Arocha, either because of what the Baal HaTosafot said earlier, after Zrika, or after the Hazayat HaDam, there is no more Pidyon, because you've gone too far in the process, or because we're doing it, even the Shita of the Chachamim, who require Hamad of Arocha, either because it's Kodesh Mizbeach or it's Kodesh Berak HaBayit that require Hamad of Arocha, then you pass that time period when you could have done the Pidyon. Despite that fact, since at that moment it was Roy the Pidyon, that's enough to deem it as Ochel. And for that, based on that, now we've solved the problem for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, who said before that Rabbi Shimon's case here is a case where he was shochet balei mumim b'chutz, it is a shchita k'shera, because the shchita that happened then, right afterwards, you needed a hamodo v'arocha, you needed to be able to redeem it immediately, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Or for Rashi, you needed to redeem it, but the guy ate it, so you can't redeem it. So how do we get around that problem? Oh, we say, because all made liftot kipadui dami. It was as if it was redeemed. And since it was as if redeemed, it had a moment in time when it was kosher le'achila. Since at a moment in time when it was kosher le'achila, that makes the shchita, shchita k'sheira. And for that reason, you're chayav for the gneva and the bichal v'ir, according to Reish Lakish. Since it was kodoshim with achrayut associated with it, and Rabbi Shimon believes kol ha'goreim le'mamon k'mamon dami, therefore there is residual ownership of this individual even after it was made into hekdesh, and therefore the tbicha, the shchita that is done here, is deemed to be a shchita of the marikama, of the original owner, and then you're going to be chayav dalet v'hei for the fact that you shechted this animal even after it is kodesh. Now the Gemara says, Bishlomo Rabbi Yochanan Lomar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't explain Rabbi Shimon's shita like Shimon ben Lakish, because by luk me lamatnit and afilu bitmimim. Because to explain the whole Mishnah as a case of Bali Mumim, especially according to Rashi, who says that it's only things that had Mumim before they were Mugdash, that is a narrow case to explain Rabbi Shimon's scenario. So he'd rather have a broader set of possibilities and have it even by Tmimim. And so therefore, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't accept Reish Lakish's explanation. El Reish Lakish, my time alo, marker Rabbi Yochanan. Why doesn't Reish Lakish accept Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, which gives you a broader set of items that can fit into Rabbi Shimon's position? Amar Lacha, the problem is, he says, because the Pasuk says, Utivacho o Micharo. Kohecha de ita be Michira, ita be Tvicha. If you can sell it, you can shecht it. Kohecha de leta be Michira, leta be Tvicha. If you can't sell it, you can't shecht it. V'hane kodoshim. Hold chimizavin kodoshim lo havia mechira. Since here by the kodoshim, you have no ability to sell it. Remember here that the item is already kodesh. And since it's already kodesh at this point in time, then how could you sell the item? There's no way to sell hekdesh. Selling hekdesh, first of all, doesn't work because it's not yours to sell. But beyond that, even if you sell it, the buyer can't utilize it. It's not going to work for him anyway. So a sale doesn't work. So therefore, since you cannot accomplish the possibility of stealing and selling, so too, let nehu b'tzvicha, you cannot then have a parallel case of stealing and being toveach. What Reish Lakish says is you have to have a manifestation of both tzvicha and mechira in any case in order to be chayav for one. You don't need both to be chayav. You just need it to work. It has to have a possibility of both a mechira or a tvicha. And if you do either one of them, you're going to be chayav dal behei. But if either one of them is not possible, then you can't be chayav for either of them. Now Tosafot asks on that, wait a minute, what about the gabei Shabbat? When it comes to Shabbat, if you sell the animal, you will be chayav for dal behei. You shech the animal, you're not going to be chayav dal behei because of kamlei derabba midei. So Tosafot in the end basically answers that kamlei derabba midei is a technical problem. It's an exogenous block from you being chayav dal behei. You really are chayav dal behei. For instance, if you shecht it on chol, you would be chayav dal behei. It's only because it's on Shabbat and you're chayav mitah that you have that. Or the other Rishonim will answer, like we did in the Gemara earlier, that he does it ayidei shaliach. He does it with asking someone else to do it. So even though the other person's chayav mitah, that doesn't stop him from having pay dal behei. And we learned over there from the Ribuim that you are chayav peshliach ledvar aveira, that even when you send someone else to Shechtich, you will be responsible, the Ganav will be responsible for it, and he will have to pay Dal Vehei. So maybe there is a manifestation even on Shabbat that way, or because it's only a technicality that blocks you on Shabbat, that you do have the possibility of both Tvicha and Mechira on Shabbat. So what Reish Lakish says is that by your case of Rabbi Yochanan, by Kodeshim, you can be Toveach them, but you cannot be Mocher them. And since you can't be Mocher them, then Tvicha will not result in a payment of Dal Vehei. Va'azdu l'tamayu, and Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are consistent with their positions. Ditmar mocher treifa l'divi Rabbi Shimon. Someone who sells a treifa, according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan mar chayav, you're chayav. You sold a treifa, you gonev, mocher, you're chayav dal v'hei. Reish Lakish amar patur. Rish Lakish says, no, you're patur in that case. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, Afagav Delete B'Tzvicha, even though for Rabbi Shimon, you could never come up with a case of Tzvicha, because a Tzvicha, a shechting of a treifa, which does not result in an edible animal for Rabbi Shimon, is a Shechita She'ein Re'uya. It's a Shechita She'ein Re'uya, that's not called Shechita, and you won't be Chayav Dal V'Hei. So what Rabbi Yochanan says is, the dinim are separate. Just because you can't do Shechita, doesn't mean that you can't do Mechira. So right, you can't do Tzvicha, you can't do Shechita, according to Rabbi Shimon in that case of a treifa. But, Ita Be'Mechira. Can manifest in Mechira, and therefore you're going to be Chayav for Mechira. Reish Lakish Amar Patur. Since you can't come to a Chiyuv of Dalet Hei by Shechting, you also cannot come to a Chiyuv of Dalet Hei through Mechira of a Treifa. So even though it's possible to sell a Treifa, but nevertheless, since if you Shechted it, Rabbi Shimon would say you're Patur from Dalet Hei, that means also by the case of Tzvicha Mechira, you're also Patur from Dalet Hei. Hei Tvei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Yochanan challenges Reb Shimon Lakish's position. We have a braita that says, Ganav kilayim utivacha. If he steals kilayim and shechs it, treifa, he steals a treifa, umichara, and then sells it, mishalem tashlume arba'a v'chamisha, he pays 4 or 5 times. Now, the fact that we're talking about a treifa that you can sell only sounds like this is authored by Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon's the only one who worries about a treifa, and therefore would only allow you to sell it to be chayav for dalet hay, but would not allow you to shecht it and be chayav for dalet hay. So the breita is seemingly authored by Rabbi Shimon. My love, Rabbi Shimoni, that he's authoring it. Alma, avagav delete bitvicha, even though a treifa you cannot shecht according to Rabbi Shimon and be chayav dalet hay, nevertheless, ite b'mechira, you still chayav dalet hay for the mechira. Here you have a case or a braita that seemingly is authored by Rabbi Shimon and supports Rabbi Yochanan's position. Amalei lo. Reish Lakish argues and says, no, Rabbonon. It's authored by the Rabbonon. I Rabbonon, treifa b'mechira ita b'zvicha leta. So then, according to the Rabbonon, if you, Reish Lakish, are explaining that it's authored by the Rabbonon, why did they limit treifa to a case of selling? Why didn't they also include a case of shechting? Because for them, you're chayav dal v'hei in either of those cases. Velamai, Rabbi Shimon. So Reish Lakish says back, okay, we'll accept your assumption that it's Rabbi Shimon in the Braita. Kilayim b'tzvicha ita b'mechira leta? When you have an animal that's kilayim, there if you do shechita on it, you're chayav dal v'hei, but if you sell it, you're not chayav dal v'hei? Why is that the case? Why is it limited to a case of tzvicha and not mechira? There's nothing unique about kilayim that only tzvicha you're going to be chayav dal v'hei for. Of course, you're chayav also if you sell it. Elatana tzvicha v'adina mechira. It's clear that the Reisha, even according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's authored by Rabbi Shimon, is talking about a case where if it's shechted or if it's sold, both of those you'll be chayav dal v'hei for. So you see that the Mishnah, the Braita, is not exclusive in its statement when it says tzvicha. And just like it's not exclusive over there, Imar l'Rabbanan Nami, for the Rabbanan will say the same thing. Tani Mechira. By the case of treifa, it writes Mechira. V'adin tzvicha, and it also means tzvicha. Just like you're going to do that for your explanation of the Braita according to Rabbi Shimon. In the Reisha, we'll do the same thing for the Rabbanan in the Seifa. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lecha, Hai Mai, how can you compare them? I Amart Bishloma Rabbi Shimon, if the author is Rabbi Shimon, I did itani treifa bechado, since in the latter half of the Braita it wrote treifa where it can only be manifest in a case of selling, not in shechting. Tana kilayim bechado. Then it writes kilayim as the opposite case, and just writes kilayim by shechting versus the mechira of the treifa and the seifa. So it creates this literary style where it says, okay, well, in the seifa it can only be mechira, so in the Reisha we'll mention tvicha, even though it could be tvicha and mechira, we'll just mention tvicha there so we get both tvicha and mechira in. It's a nice way to set it up. So in the Reisha they just gave the opposite case. Not that that's the exclusive case, but they did it for balance in the Braita. To say, oh, the first case is a case of tvicha, and the second case is a case of mechira. In the latter case, it's dafko, and the first case, it's lav dafko. Eliyamar drabonon, according to the Rabbanan, both the Reisha and the Sefer are true, both by mechira and shchita. If that's the case, narvinu v'nitneinu, then you should just put them together and write them together. Ganav kilayim v'treifa, tvachanu mecharan mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha. You could write it in all one shot. You don't have to separate the items. Kasha. That is a difficulty, Rav Shimon ben Lakish. That is a problem in Rav Shimon Lakish's explanation of this Braita, which seemingly favors the position of Rabbi Yochanan by saying that Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Braita. And in bringing the author of the Braita, he allows for Mechira of a Trefa to result in Dalet Behen. Unlike Rish Lakish attributes the Braita to the Rabbonan, but he runs into a problem as to why Kilayim and Trefa are separated if the din is exactly the same. Right now the Gemara says, Kilayim Sektiv. How can you say over here that Kilayim is allowed, or you are Chayav for Kilayim, because the word Se is used in the Psukim? Over here, by our Psukim, it says, Gnov ish shor o se, utibacho mecharo chamisha bakashlem tachar ashor, abatzon tachar se. And we know, vamarova, zibne av, komakom shnemer se, enelotzi etakilayim. From here, we learn out that anytime the word se is used in the Torah, it means se exclusively and not kilayim. That implies by tvichan mechira, if we have the word se written there, that would mean that kilayim, you would not be chayav for tvicha or mechira. Goes to your question, there's no real reason why you shouldn't be chayav for the kilayim. Nevertheless, that's gzeirat hakatuv because of the fact that the word se always excludes a case of kilayim. Now, where do we learn this from? That is not clear. Rashi thinks that we learn this out of a pasuk that is found in Parshat Re'eh with regards to the kosher animals. It says, Zolta beima asher tochelu, shor, sek savim, vse izim. The fact there that the Torah specifies sek savim and se izim separately shows you that you have to keep the se separate. The word se means a separate species, the kvasim, the sheep by themselves, and the izim and the goats by themselves. You can't mix the izim and the kzavim or kivasim. You can't mix them because of the fact that they are separate and they are kilayim. And therefore the word se always means separate. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot here argue on that proof that Rashi brings. And they bring the proof from the Korban HaPesach. By Korban HaPesach it says, se tamim zachar ben shana yelachem, mina kivasim umina izim tikachu. The beginning of the pasuk is extraneous to the word se. In the beginning of the pasuk is extraneous in some sense, but from the context, the se in the beginning of the pasuk, connected with the mina kvasim or mina izim in the latter part of the pasuk, shows you that the se has to be separate. It has to either be a keves or an ez. It can't be a mixture of both. And they think the binyanav comes out of the se by Pesach. So whether you use that pasuk by the Pesach in Shmot Yud Bet, or use the pasuk from Devarim Yud Dalet that Rashi uses, we already established that the word se means se exclusively, not an animal that is kilayim. If that's the case, by our case here of Tvicha Mechira, where it mentioned se, kilayim should be precluded. Shani Ocha, Gemara says, no, here it's different. Amakra, o, the Rabot Tekilayim. Our case in the pasuk says, shor, o, se. And the o comes to be merabe kilayim. Gemara says, wait a minute, v'chol o the Raboto? Did the word ro'o always comes to be a riboy v'atanya? Shor o kesef? This is in Parshat Emor, shor o kesef, which you're familiar with from the Kriyat Torah from the Moadim. Prat v'kilayim o eis, prat l'nidmeh. So over there it says shor o kesef o eis. So the word o in each time is used to exclude something. The first o comes to exclude kilayim. The second o comes to exclude a nidmeh. Nidmeh is an animal that is born from parents who are of the same species, but the animal born looks like a different species. It is born of two animals from the same species, but it's a deformity and it looks like a different species. Both of those are precluded from being brought on the mizbeach. So amarovo hocha minyone dekro. You have to look at the context. In each of the cases, the context tells you what the O is going to teach you. By our case of Tvicha Mechira, by the Gneva, Dichtiv, Shor Oseh, Shiata Yecholotzi Kilaimi Benehem. A Shor and a Seh are not breeds or species that can be crossbred. They will not produce offspring, because one is a Behema Gasa, one's a Behema Daka. They are not close enough in their species to produce offspring. So therefore, by definition, shor and seh preclude kilayim, because the two of them can't be mixed together to generate kilayim. Therefore, the word o in that case is l'rabot kilayim, because without the word o, you wouldn't have thought kilayim at all, because of the shor and the seh. Therefore, the o comes to tell you l'rabot kilayim, to say that kilayim is allowed. Gabei kodashim dechtiv kesev ve'eiz, there it says shor o kesev o eiz, shatayu cholotzi kilayim ibneihem. There, a crossbreeding of a kesef and an aes between sheep and goats will produce offspring. That means that the natural state would be that kilayim is allowed on the Mizbeach. Unlike the case of Gneva, where the natural state should be that kilayim is precluded because of the fact that Ashur and Seh cannot be crossbred. So therefore, the Ol comes to change that and say that kilayim is subject to Tvicha Mechira. In the case of the Korbanot, where the Kesev and the Ace could have been crossbred, and therefore you would assume kilayim is okay, the Ol comes to say, no, it's not okay. Olam Amaitu. Then the O comes to be a miut and say kilayim doesn't work. Va'a gobe kodeshim nami ne'amar shor o kesef. Wait a minute, the pasuk says shor o kesef o aiz. So yes, there's a kesef and an aiz there, but there's also a shor o kesef there. Shena ta yecholo tzi kilayim b'nehem. And those you cannot create a crossbreed from. V'nirbe, and then it should become a ribui there, the O. When it says be the seif of the ma'it, reishanami the ma'it. Since in the case of the Kesef and the A's, where you can't crossbreed them, the O has to be a miut. So to the first O in the pasuk has to also be a miut. Where it says Adarabba. Midoresh al Rabot, Seif and Ami al Rabot. If the first O is a reboy, then make the second O a reboy. Hi, Mai. Why would you do that? Iamar Bishlam al Maitu. If it's a miut, the itztrich tre miute. Then I understand why you need to miut him. Dafagavdu im ait kilayim. From the first O you excluded kilayim. It's strictly miute nidmeh. You need a second O to exclude nidmeh, because nidmeh is born of the same species of parents, it just looks different. So you need a separate O to exclude it. Eliyamart the rabot. If you said that the O here comes to include kilayim, trei ribuye lomo. Why do I need two inclusions? Hashta kilayim mi rabile. If you already included kilayim, nidmeh mi baye, then you have to tell me that a nidmeh is included? Of course, if kilayim is allowed on the Mizbeach, where it's really a crossbreeding, then of course an animal that's not a crossbreed, that just looks like a different breed, certainly it'll be allowed on the Mizbeach. So why do I need two O's to rabot? So it must be that the O, by Shor, O Kesef, O A's, both of those O's are the ma'et. And since they're both the ma'et, one of them comes to be ma'et kilayim, and the second one comes to be ma'et nidmeh. So even though we have an O there that's a miut, the O by us is going to be a reboy. And that has to do with the structure of the animals in the pasuk, where we ask it's shor and seh, which do not generate kilayim or crossbreeding between them. And therefore you would have thought, or your havamina would have been, that kilayim would not be subject to bicha mechira. Therefore the O comes to negate that position and say that yes, kilayim is subject to bicha umechira. Whereas by the korbanot, where you have kesef and eiz that are juxtaposed to each other, which can be crossbred, then your natural assumption would have been that kilayim is okay to go on the Mizbeach. In the end, the O comes and tells you the ma'at, say, don't do that. All right, then we're going to come back at tomorrow's daf to explain this statement of Rava about the binyan av of Seh. Where is it applicable? We just use two psukim that have the word Seh in it. In both cases, the din of Rava is overridden by the word O. So the word Seh has no meaning over there. So then, where is the din of Rava applicable? And that we'll do in tomorrow's daf. It will stop here, 9 lines down on the top of Ayin Chet Amud Aleph.